This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Dr. Keenan Yoho. Dr. Yoho holds a PhD in MBA in Operations Management and an MS in Industrial Relations from the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He also holds a degree in religion from Temple University. Dr. Yoho is an associate professor at the Crummer Graduate School of Business at Rollins College. Prior to joining Rollins College, he was an assistant professor at the Naval Postgraduate School in Monterey, California. There he received several teaching awards, including the school's highest award for excellence in teaching and impact beyond the classroom. As a consultant, Dr. Yoho works with senior management in leading change in both commercial and military environments. He has served as a senior special advisor to United States Special Operations Command. Here he worked with a team to determine a plan for posturing special operations forces and then implementing the plan upon approval by the commander of the United States Special Operations Command, the Secretary of Defense, or the President of the United States. Dr. Yoho advises several major organizations like IBM, General Mills, Intel, and the United States Office of the Secretary of Defense. He advises in areas like operations, supply chain management, continuous improvement, and organizational change. Dr. Yoho has published in some of the most respected journals in his area, including the International Journal of Production Economics, the International Journal of Operations and Quantitative Management, and the Journal of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. Keenan, welcome to you today.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you here today. You know, I think probably our listeners are not only interested in you and your operations background, but your service to the country. And give us a little bit of a profile about what you did in the military.
Well, I started out years ago, Sam. I was actually enlisted in the Army National Guard to help me pay for college. And so I went off to basic training and went to the intelligence school at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and then ended up off at Temple University where I studied. And then I would drill on the weekend in Pennsylvania, and then I actually had the opportunity to meet some folks there that recruited me to come to work at U.S. Customs as an intelligence analyst in the Office of Enforcement. So while I was completing my studies at Temple, I was both working in the classroom, and then in the afternoons and in evenings and weekends, I was at Customs. So that's how I started. And I'd always been grateful for the opportunity that the military gave me. Growing up in southern Indiana in a town that had five factories when I grew up, and by the time I was a sophomore in high school, there were none. They'd all moved overseas. And so going to the Army gave me an opportunity to actually pursue higher education, which I probably wouldn't have had. And so not only the money, but it also just helped me get organized and realize that I could do things that maybe I couldn't do. And so that was one way that, that I started. And then I served my 6 years and separated after I'd moved to Seattle, Washington. And then later I went to school and got my master's degrees and then my PhD. And when I was coming out, the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq were ongoing. My area was operations and operations research. And I had learned about the RAND Corporation in Santa Monica, California. And that's where a lot of development, research and development has been going on since the late 1940s. To support the military, and it seemed like in a time of war, this was another way to serve. And so from there, to the Naval Postgraduate School, to U.S. Special Operations Command. I've just had a passion for defense and national security and our nation's security, but also a gratitude for that opportunity to serve.
Well, we all want to thank you for your service and for the input that you made to make this country what it is.
Sam, mine's I'm the least among them, I can assure you.
That's humility. Humility in operation. Let's talk a little bit now about your expertise. We have a lot of people who are listening who are leaders in everyday kinds of operations, and your expertise is in the area of operations management. Mm-hmm. Tell us how you would define that.
Well, the reason I was attracted to operations because, you know, like most people in the work that they're passionate about, they feel that it's everything. That everything
without
has it, operations.
Yeah.
That's right.
Without it, there's nothing, right?
That's exactly right. So, you know, I see operations everywhere, and I saw in operations that is the leverage point for changing things and for changing the world. And operations is that point where you transform the strategy or the idea into the action. And I've learned over time that it's not only what you're doing, but how you do it matters in terms of its effectiveness, its cost, its quality, but also on the humanity of those who are involved in it. So it's not just, you know, what you're doing, what you've determined, you know, to set out to do, but then, you know, how you actually execute it matters. And so that's what's always attracted me to the area.
And so many leaders seem to fail because they understand their strategy, but not how to execute it or to implement it in a way that materializes it.
Right. And that's again, what attracted me to the area, is that what I saw as a fundamental gap.
Some people talk about operations as an art and a science.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that that's, you know, there's certainly a lot of science, and I think that that's the way we tend to teach it in business schools, and that's kind of how it's grown up. There's certainly a lot of mathematics. You know, the area of operations research was born out of World War II, and you had a lot of different scientists from many different backgrounds. It started really in England, where you had physicists and psychologists and mathematicians coming together to work on operational problems of the war. And so has its roots in that kind of science. But there's also always been, if you're too attendant to the equations and you don't pull your head up off of the table and look around, you often miss the bigger picture. And so that's probably where the art is and reading between the lines of mm-hmm. what's happening. And also it's getting to the, when ultimately human beings are going to be involved in the execution. And that's also where the art comes in the human relations aspect of how you treat people, how you incentivize them and reward them and recognize them. And right. I found the power of recognition is one of the biggest pieces of being successful or effective at operations.
When we look at the objective for this podcast, we probably could couch it in the terms that we want leaders not only to think in terms of strategy, but its implementation, so strategy and implementation. Mm-hmm. And what I'd like to get to are a few maybe practical ideas that we could spin mm-hmm. in terms of what people might do to help them to not only have a strategy, but be better able to put that strategy into action.
Okay, so that's something that I've thought about, and it's, and a lot of these things are going to be organizational. There will certainly be particulars of the organization that will drive how you do it. But in general, I start with you need to have a vision and a mission that's compelling and inspiring and gets people to buy in. And if you don't have that, if you don't have a why, there's a gentleman in the popular business thinking named Simon Sinek who talks about the power of why, and that most people know what it is, you know, what they do. A fewer number know how they do it, but very few know why they're doing things. And so getting that compelling vision together and then articulating it so that others can buy in, I think, is the first step. And without that, it's not going to happen.
So when we think about this, we think about vision mm-hmm. and we think about mission. And as people are listening to this, we can actually couch that with leaders regardless of where they are in the organization.
That's right.
So that if you're at a lower level in supervising, you still need that vision within your group and moving it forward. As you go up, the vision becomes broader and more of more paramount importance.
That's right. And starting with that overarching vision, and then as other, you know, you might call that at the corporate or the organizational level, and then the leadership within the organization being able to articulate that more locally. How is it that what we're doing contributes to that overarching vision is really, really important.
We have a feature called Sunday to Monday. Mm-hmm. And it has to do with something you might hear from a pulpit or in a church on a Sunday and take it on through the work week in a practical way. Mm-hmm. And with what you just said about vision and mission, I know that Habakkuk is a verse within it that is extremely important to you in that area.
Yes.
Would you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. And then and one of the passages there, it says, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that whoever reads it may run with it. And I think that this, there's a lot couched in that. And I'll start with the first is I think it's important to take your ideas and write them down, to bring them into the material world. You know, and Aristotle talked about this difference between being and becoming. And so although the idea may be in being in your mind, it's not going to have life until you are actually able to write it down and communicate it to yourself. But then equally important and perhaps more important, you need to be able to articulate it in a concrete way to others. Mm-hmm. And this part about others may take it and make it their own or run with it is really, really important, because you'll never get anything done that I would say is lasting unless people can run far and deep with an idea. And so I think good leaders are able to articulate inspiring ideas in a way that others can run with it. And the best are able to articulate it so that others can execute on their intent. And I think that that's the most important part in terms of getting things done that are lasting and meaningful. You have to allow others to take it and run with it and execute on the intent.
All right. And I'm getting a visual here of an organization, almost like an organization chart, and people running within from position to position with this vision and mission and communicating with one another. And that race, so to speak, or that path or the track is within the organization, doesn't necessarily have to be outside the organization.
Right, right. I mean, that's exactly right. And I think that, you know, where we're going organizationally, we're finding that as the speed of change and as is increased, and we're in a networked world, organizations have to be flatter and faster. And that means the hub and spoke model is starting to collapse in those areas where you need to move fast. Mm-hmm. And so you're only going to go faster as if everyone understands what it is we're doing and they can execute on intent. Now, there's more risk because you're not overseeing every single decision in the organization. But again, that's why it's so critical to write it down and be able to articulate it very, very clearly so people can understand you know, what I'm doing and how it's connected to the larger mission or vision.
Excellent. I know from our preparation for this podcast that you also feel strongly about building a team as a leader in order to move this vision forward.
That's right. And I think that building the team is a really important piece of that. You have to have the right people in the organization and playing the right positions, but playing together. So it's good to have people who are specialists, people who are generalists, but you need to have those who are bought in and who are passionate. And I know that, you know, in some of the experiences I've had with organizations that have to change quickly, you have to give people an opportunity to exit if they're not on board for it, because especially if you're doing a transformation and it's happening quickly. So you need to bring in those who are bought into the vision, understand it, and are willing to make the sacrifices and time and energy to go forward. But you also need to allow those who are just, you know, not necessarily bought into that, or who have just said, you know, it's time for me to let some other people step in here, to allow them to in a way that's dignified and gracefully and exit and, you know, and celebrate the contributions that they've also made. But again, when things have to happen quickly, I've seen this time and time again, you have to be deliberate about who is on your team and make sure that everyone is committed.
Good. Very practical. The theme of this podcast and all the Chasing Wisdom podcast is that we put Bible and business together, mm-hmm. and that those two create a synergy to help one be successful. And there is a scripture that I'd like to read to you, mm-hmm. and then ask for your insight about how it relates to this idea of becoming not only a strategist, but an implementer. And it has to do with Proverbs 24:27. Put your outdoor work in order and get your fields ready. After that, build your house.
Right. And I actually, I really like that one because I think for me, that is about drawing attention to the fact that we're often attracted to the work that we enjoy, the work that gives us a lot of pleasure, but not always the work that must be done, but that we don't enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Like cutting, there's always that, right?
Cutting the grass, you know, digging the garden. The plowing and preparing of the fields, I think that type of work has to be done, and it has to be done early. You know, we all want to choose the curtains and pick out the carpets and the furniture in the house, but if we don't put our shoulders into the plow, if we don't start to till the soil, if we don't start to expend some of the sweat early, we'll starve inside that beautiful house and, you know, over some time. So if you want to sustain what it is that you're trying to do, you're going to have to put some time in early in the toiling. And that putting the time in early in the toiling also helps you with the team as well, because a lot of folks will self-select out of the project.
Good point.
When you start early with the hard stuff.
Good point.
So
it only becomes better from there, and
right.
If you can't take the most difficult. It's time for a pearl of wisdom.
Okay.
And the pearl of wisdom is a summary point that you would like for people to remember, something to help them in their efforts to be a more successful leader. What would that pearl be, Kenan, at this point?
For me, it has been something that someone said to me actually when I showed up at U.S. Special Operations Command back in 2012, and that was anticipate the future. If you are not anticipating the future, then you are reacting to contact. And reacting to contact is, you know, oftentimes that's what, you know, folks in the military use, is that, you know, you're when you're ambushed and you're just trying to fight for your life to survive in that moment and get in a position where you can survive whatever that event is. And you don't ever want to be in that position if you can help it. And the way to avoid that is to anticipate the future. See not just what is happening now, but what could be happening several episodes from now, and start building for that. And again, this goes back to that preparing the field.
Mm-hmm.
You're anticipating the future. You know, 9 months, it will snow. There will be bad weather. I will get hungry. There will be others who I have not anticipated needing help that I will want to help, because that will help our cause. And so anticipate the future is easy to say, hard to do.
Hard to do. It's not, and I'm trying to think in my mind what has been sparked by your point about contact.
Mm-hmm.
Is that similar to putting out fires on a day-to-day basis?
It's exactly that, Sam. It's exactly the putting out the fires. And of course, as W. Edwards Deming, who is one of my favorite business leaders, you know, has always said that, you know, those who put out the fires will get the reward. And many people believe that that's really their job, is to put out the fires. And you will get reward and recognition. But as Deming said, you know, do it right the first time, and it's just your job. So yes, I think we have to avoid that.
Deming's one of my heroes as well, by the way. I hate to tell everyone, but Kenan's time is up at this point. Thank you so much, Kenan, for being here today. You can find Kenan on LinkedIn by searching for Kenan Yoho. And let me spell that for you. It's K-E-E-N-A-N, last name Y-O-H-O. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you already know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.